Historians would tell you that in the 1970s and 80s, the Soviet Union was at most probably the peak of its power. And in November 1982, Leonid Brezhnev died, and his funeral was held in Moscow. George W. Bush was there. And he said afterwards that what he saw was the most unusual and unexpected thing he had ever seen in his life. The Soviet Union, as you know, was an atheist, strongly atheist country. And at the funeral, the body of Brezhnev was in an open coffin. Towards the end of the ceremony, his wife was standing next to that coffin. As the soldiers picked up the lid to put on the casket, she leant over her husband's body and made a large sign of the cross on his body. The people there were stunned by it. She stood back, and the lid was put on, and the body taken out. As George Bush said, in a strongly atheist country, for someone like that to do something like that at a time like that was truly remarkable. But Mrs. Brezhnev obviously believed in an afterlife, believed in a God, and was hoping and no doubt praying that her husband would get to heaven despite some of the things he'd done in his life. Life after death is something that we don't really understand. Because as they keep on saying, no one's ever come back from the dead. But of course, that's not quite true, because we have it in today's gospel. And it's the third person to be raised by Jesus. Remember the little girl that was ill, and Jesus went to the house, and they were told, she's dead? He said, no, she's just asleep. Talika thum, he said, stood her up, and she was fine. The widow of Nain, as Jesus was walking past a funeral cortege and saw the distress of this widow with her only son being carried out, he put his hand on the bier, and the man rose again. Two obscure occasions where people could have been in some sort of comatose state, and you can explain it away. But when someone has been in the grave for 4 days, you can't explain this away. And this was not just an act of love. This was a radically bold statement. Jesus knew that what he was doing was almost certainly going to cost him his life. He knew the authorities were plotting against him. He knew they wanted to get rid of him, because the crowds were coming to him more and more. So that when he raised Lazarus, that really was the final straw. He had to be put away. He had to be stopped. But he realized the price was worth it, to show to the people around him that he would pay any price for life. Not just life in this world, but more importantly, for eternal life. But what about Lazarus? I mean, would you really want to come back from the dead? I suppose it depends how old you are and what your life is like. But did Lazarus come back and all his aches and pains had gone, any bits of illness were all cleared up? You know, was he like a spring chicken? Or did he have the usual problems of getting maybe a few years older and not being as mobile as he once was? And this is in Bethany, only a few miles from Jerusalem. So, when the word got to Bethany, as it would do in a very short space of time, that Jesus had been arrested in a garden and he was going to be put in front of Pontius Pilate the following day, people from Bethany would have gone down. Certainly Martha, Mary and Lazarus would have been in that crowd. Put yourself for a moment as Lazarus, seeing your friend, your brother, your companion, standing there dressed in purple and a crown of thorns on his head. And at this point, Pilate is saying, "Who shall I release for you, Jesus or Barabbas?" You shout as loud as you can, "Jesus! Jesus!" But the crowd is drowning you out with "Barabbas! Barabbas!" And the shouts of "Kill him! Kill him!" are heard. And you scream your lungs out at the injustice that is going on. And yet, not a word of condemnation comes from the lips of the Messiah who is standing there. This is the story that's unfolding before us. This is the power of God's love, that nothing that the crowd could say or do would make Jesus turn away from his destiny. Any price was the price that was worth paying. And you walk away with tears in your eyes, knowing that your voice was not enough to save the man you loved, knowing that you couldn't dissuade that crowd who were baying for blood, knowing that you had got your life, but he was going to lose his. This is a story we hear unfolding today. Oh, it's a story that can just be so well known that we forget it almost. But when we recognize the reality of what happened, our hearts are broken. As we journey through these final couple of weeks of Lent, we sink deeper and deeper into the mystery of God's love for us, and realize no matter what we do, no matter what we say, he will die for me and he will die for you. And we ponder on the mystery of how precious we are in the eyes of God.